Ladies and gentlemen, the George Wilder Jr. Show has now arrived. This is Chicago's finest internet radio show, making a world a better place, one show at a time. The George Wilder Jr. Show is now on the air. Take it away, Dad.
Oh, wow. Thanks. That was refreshing. Thanks. All righty. Okay. All right. Welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show. This is Tuesday, I believe. Tuesday, September 20th. I'm looking at the calendar here because I was doing other things. So it's Tuesday, September 20th. In case you're podcasting show, you will know that. Downloading and listening at a later time, which is great. It's great. It is if my tongue is twisted. It is another gorgeous day in the city of Chicago and wherever you are. I hope it's just as beautiful. It is just another, it is so wonderful. I can't believe it. This is one of the greatest, I espouse this almost every day on the show. Well, at the beginning of the show, what the weather is like, because I don't believe these guys on TV. These weather people on television, but this is phenomenal. You know, it is like in the 80s now, and this is like September 20th. And tomorrow they're saying the 90s. Where is fall? I believe fall comes up a couple of days from now. But anyway, they're saying it's going to be, if they're correct, if they're right, it's going to be hot all week. We're still using the air conditioners, it's weird. It's weird. That's why I believe it's going to be a mild winter. Hopefully. Then again, who knows? Who knows? But it is another beautiful day in Chicago. And I guess with this weather, type of weather like this, we're blessed. So if you are having great weather and you're in the city of Chicago, or no matter where you are, get out there and enjoy it. Get out there and enjoy it. It's something to tell your kids, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren. Get out there and enjoy it. It is totally, totally beautiful because it's not going to last. At least I don't think it's going to last. It could, the way it's lasting now, but it could. I'm just being facetious, folks. Thanks for listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. Thanks for tuning in. And from my understanding, we have no guests today, but who knows? Anything could happen. Anybody could pop up. Who cares? Who knows? Anything can happen on the George Wilder Jr. show. I was watching a clip of the Bill Maher show about a couple of days ago, a few days ago. And one of the things he said, it wasn't who he had on his show. He had a Trump, Donald Trump surrogate on his show, but that's not the what I'm going to be espousing. What I'm going to talk about, he said, Bill Maher said that he tells his audience that Americans are dumb. I mean, he came out with it. Just, I mean, he just, he didn't flip. He didn't stutter when he said that, put it that way. And he's just came out and said Americans are dumb. And I've heard this before from media people that Americans are dumb. Of course, not all Americans are dumb. Give me a break, but we have too many of them out there who are. And not all Americans are stupid. Not all Americans are crazy, and not all Americans are deplorable. You know, so you can't really generalize. He generalized because all Americans, I don't think I'm stupid. I don't think that I'm dumb. But he generalized, and I don't think you're stupid. I don't think you're dumb. But this guy generalized. But we all know that there are some questionable Americans out there. We do. I mean, it's some people out there just plain old dumb, stupid, and crazy and lazy. And they're thinking they're smart. But, you know, like I just got through saying, everybody is not dumb. Everybody's not crazy. We're not loonies. We got some really, really smart people in America. There's no doubt about it. We got some stupid people. We got ignorant people. We got some dumb people. We got some uneducated people. We got people who are educated. We got people who are educated and dumb. I mean, you look at the Donald Trump supporters. That'll tell you a lot. You know, these guys, some of his supporters are just off the wall. And some of them are, as Hillary Clinton has said, deplorable. You know, we got some deplorable people in this country. You know, Americans. We got Americans that don't know jack, but they think they do. They think they're smarter than you or I. You and I, sorry. And they don't know, and they do not know jack. I mean, you got some of the best looking women, the best looking young ladies out here. I mean, they're gorgeous, they're pretty, they're cute, they're fine. And they don't know their asses from a hole in the ground. You know, so, and that's because they feel that education or knowing even history, knowing about history, even knowing history is just a waste of time. And if you think about it, a lot of our schools, elementary schools, high school, colleges, they are actually not teaching young Americans like they were 10, 15, 20 years ago. That's a lot of Americans, students are learning differently, learning different things than what we learned when we were in school, when I was in school. You know, math is not, in some cases, math is not math. history is not really about history. English is not really about learning between a verb or a noun or an adjective or an adverb. It's all twisted and wired now. Education is all twisted and wired, you know, and it's just not right. And then you've got teachers out here. Some of the teachers, I'm not jumping on all teachers, but we got some teachers out here. Just like we got bad police officers, we got bad teachers. We got, you know, whatever profession someone may be in, there's going to be good people, there's going to be bad people. I mean, that's the way it goes. And then you got some teachers who can't, who actually don't know what they're doing, or they're trying to get a grip on what they're doing. Some teachers aren't. Are probably one grade past the kids that they're teaching, you know, and because I've talked to some of these teachers, I said, "Wow, what is this?" I said, "You're teaching kids, and you sound like you don't know much yourself." You know, I'm not. I'm gonna say this again. I'm not jumping on all teachers. There's some great teachers out there. There's some dedicated teachers out there, and there's some rotten teachers out there. But still in all, kids are learning differently than what they did years ago. Now, you may not believe this, then maybe you will. But you've got some schools out here, elementary schools, high schools, they don't even give homework out anymore. They don't even have textbooks anymore. You know, and then sometimes the kids will get to use, in some cases, the kids will get to use a laptop computer, but they won't be able to take it home. And, you know, the lessons are on the laptop computer, or either the lessons, the teacher writes the lessons on the board and she explains what it's about. And the kids who are sitting in their chairs, they're taking notes and all of this stuff, and they're taking notes, and suddenly then they have to study their notes, and later on the teacher will give them a test or an exam on what they have learned from the information that she had written on the blackboard. It's totally different. You've got schools out here that do not even have textbooks, will not even supply their children with textbooks, and you wonder why America is dumb. You got kids coming home every night from school every year with not an ounce of homework, nothing to read, nothing to study, but they're going to school every single day. And it's just appalling. When I was in school, when I was in high school, grammar school, we had textbooks, and we had homework every night. Nowadays, that's by the book. Some kids still do bring home textbooks, and some still have homework, but there are schools out here where there's absolutely none. For instance, the school that my son goes to, I don't know what these people are doing. I don't think they know what they're doing. I do know that the schools in the city of Chicago, they're firing teachers and they're hiring teachers at a much lower salary. They're trying to save money. So if you're trying to save money by getting rid of the best and hiring the ones who are not the best, you're getting what you pay for. If you're going out here getting secondhand teachers to try to save money and not get the best, you're shortchanging the children, I think so. Are Americans dumb? Some of them are, some are not. You can't put them all in one basket. But you got people out here saying all Americans are dumb. That's crazy. You cannot generalize, because you got some smart, bright, intelligent people out here. And then on the other hand, you got some who are not, but they think they do. They think they are. All right, you've been listening to George Wilder Jr. Show. We're going to be talking more about that later on in the show. Are Americans dumb or just uneducated? I tried to explain that, but at some point in time, I'm going to have somebody on the show who can explain it a lot better than I can, who have a much more knowledge than I do. But I don't know if it takes a lot of knowledge to realize that some Americans are just not up to par when it comes to being educated and knowledgeable. Even at the simple things, you got some Americans don't even know who the vice president of the United States is. You got some college kids that don't even know that. And then they look at you like it's no big deal not to know your history, or it's no big deal not to know a verb and a noun, what they're out about. It's no big deal to know that 2 + 2 = 4. And then some schools, 2 + 2 does not equal 4 anymore. You got to figure out the answer. It's like long division or something to try to figure out the right answer. It's not called the sum of the number anymore. It's called something else. And I was shocked when I found that out. So a lot of American schools are not teaching the kids like they did 10 to 20, 30 years ago. History, a lot of the history books, if there are any books, have been changed. A lot of things have been taken out of the history books. A lot of kids who are going to school, they do not learn about slavery. they, you know, learn about Abraham Lincoln, but they don't learn about the gist of slavery. All they know is that Abraham Lincoln was the 16th president. And you got some people in the world who don't even know that, and they don't care. They don't care who's the 16th president. I don't know. I don't give a damn. Give me something. You know, it's a shame. And it's out here. It's out here every day. Sometimes I see it on television every night. People, dumb people, ignorant people, stupid people walking up to the camera on television and espousing something that they think they know, and they don't even realize that they're looking ridiculous. You know, so, but let me say this again. Not all people should be put in the basket as some people, media people, famous people say. I mean, you don't say that all people are dumb, because all people are not dumb. But, you know, it had to be said, right? It had to be said. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. We're going to expound on that a little bit more. Okay, what do you think? Are Americans dumb? Are they uneducated? I just gave you my bit, you know, but 347-857-1762. It is 80 degrees in the city of Chicago, folks. It is beautiful. It's 6:15 p.m. straight up Chicago time, Central Standard Time. And it is beautiful. And welcome to the show. Welcome to the show. We're going to have we're going to be talking about things in the news and stuff like that. The Bears played yesterday. I mean, Monday Night Football. Okay, this is Tuesday, in case you're downloading or podcasting the show for later. This is Tuesday. The Bears played yesterday. This is their second game of the season. And you know what? If you don't know about it, they lost. They lost again. And they were heavily favored going into this game. They were 3.5 points favorite. And the thing about it, when they lose at home. They lost at Soldier Field, Chicago. And that's bad when you lose at home. It's really bad. And the Bears are 2-0. I mean, I predicted before the season began that they would either go 9-7 or 7-9. They might just go 0-16. Who knows? The Bears are just bad. I mean, Jay Cutler, this is not a sports show, okay? I'm just mentioning this because it's Chicago. Jay Cutler, I mean, he, from my understanding, he was playing with an injury to his thumb or something. Maybe that's why he was intercepted or sacked. But I do think that the Bears need to rebuild. I mean, they had all year to rebuild. The preseason was a disaster. I mean, they won three. They lost three and won only one in the preseason games. And a lot of times people will say, well, the preseason, they only play four games in the preseason. A lot of people say, well, there's only four games in the preseason and they really don't mean anything. They mean something. They preseason games will tell you what that particular team is going to be like once the regular season rolls around. So the Bears lost three preseason games, and that told me what the season was going to be like. And since they've lost two regular games so far, I was right. And if you said the same thing, you were right. You know, they are awful. And they just gave this guy, Kyle Long, he's on the offensive line, just gave him $40 million to protect Jay Cutler, and he's not doing it. He's one of the worst on there, you know, and they just gave this guy $40 million. So that's crazy. How could you give somebody $40 million who is not producing? That's crazy, but that's what they do in sports. And that's what the Bears are doing. So the Bears, they lost their 0-2. That means that they've won none and lost two. And as of now, they have a short week and they have to get back to work for Sunday. Okay, they're going to be playing Sunday. And I'm pretty sure they are going to be the underdogs. And I understand why. They are so disappointing. I mean, they've lost, I think, 12 games at home, something like that. I don't really know the statistics, but I do know that the Bears need to regroup. I feel that the Bears, they just need people. They need good players. Now, the management and the ownership of these teams, they're trying to save money by skipping on good players and putting mediocre players on the field, hoping that something will happen. A lot of these teams, management and these teams, they're trying to save money. And they're putting mediocre players out on the field. And I think this is one of the things the Bears are doing. And some of these mediocre players, they're not getting the job done. They're not getting the job done. Now, Monday night game, it wasn't – the Bears made some good throws. They made some good runs, but it just wasn't enough. At one point, they were down 28 to 7, I believe. Yeah, 28 to 7 until, you know, that run back by one of the Bears on special teams made it 14 to 27 or 14 to 28, something like that. But still in all, they lost. And they lost at home, and they lost on Monday Night Football. So they're going to have to regroup. They're going to have to redo something. And every time the Bears lose, they're always getting on television coming up with those same old excuses for losing. How many times you can come up with excuses for losing? Yeah, we stunk. We did this. We got to get better. We got to find out what's wrong. They were saying that before the preseason started. They were saying that during the preseason. Well, with the preseason, well, we're going to see what we need to do, what's going to happen. Blah, 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 blah. And they lost, and they lose. Chicago is a sports town. We love our sports. We Cubs. They finally won. But they are in the playoffs. They are going to be playing in October. And hopefully they won't get blown out in the playoffs, the first or second round of the playoffs. Because they lose one game, they're out of there. They lose one round in the playoffs, they're gone. No World Series. We know there will not be a Super Bowl for the Bears. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. It is, 80 degrees in Chicago. 80 degrees, and they're talking about 90 tomorrow, folks. So if you're in Chicago, get out and enjoy the weather. I know a lot of people have to go to work. A lot of people have to go to school. But at least you're out there in that weather. You can get a taste of it, a swift of it. And it's just wonderful. It's just wonderful. And it's kind of scary, too. It's kind of scary, too, because you're wondering, will we have 80 degrees in November? That could be. All right, you've been listening to the show. Here we go. Let's see if we can do this. We will be right back. Thank you, everybody. All right. Okay.
Welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live out of Chicago, and we are helping to make the world a better place, one show at a time. Thank you for listening. Thank you for finding the show, downloading the show, and just having a great time. Here we go. We'll be right back.
my son has been arrested for walking while black.
A lot of sons have been arrested.
Yeah, I get it. I mean, it doesn't make me, you know, you can't buy your way out of this one. You can't educate your way out of it.
It's happening too much, or at least we know about it now.
It's always happened. We see more evidence of it. And too often people still are inclined to say, well, if he'd had a different attitude, well, if he hadn't been driving, well, if he hadn't been this, if he hadn't been that, almost as if the victim is partially to blame, you know, in the case of Garner. Well, he shouldn't have resisted in the case of Brown. Well, where was he in the case of Trayvon? Well, he had a hood on, you know, and in the case of whoever. You know, in case of Sandra Bland, you know, well, her attitude was better. It's like, no, stop. Stop. This has nothing to do with the victims. This has everything to do with the culture of demeaning a person of color. And there is no justification for a society where my son has a far greater chance of being stopped, held, killed than your son. Simply because he's black.
Yeah, there's been another racial shooting. There's been another racial shooting. This guy had his hands up, and this police officer, they tased him. And then the white police officer, who was a female, shot the guy in the back. He did not have a gun. He did not have anything on him. You know, they're trying to justify the shooting by saying that he was reaching inside of his van or whatever. And his lawyers have proven that the guy was not reaching inside of his van. The police, the police, they're going to lie and say something happened to try to justify a murder. So I'm pretty sure you probably heard this is the latest in the police shooting. This time it's a woman who shoots this. He had his hands up. He was walking with his hands up. He was walking. He had his hands up, and they came up behind him, tased him, and then shot him, and then going to try and say he was reaching for something in his van when he was totally, totally, totally unarmed. He was my understanding. He was a father of four. And, they're bitching. And I don't blame him. I don't blame him. This was totally, totally a murder. And then they're trying to justify it. I mean, how are you going to tase somebody and then shoot them? The taser takes them down. Why would you shoot them? This is another incident of that, and it's being investigated. I mean, there's nothing to investigate. The video tells everything that anybody should want to know. Another white officer shoots another black man in the back who had his hands up. Police brutality is all over the place. It seems like it never stops. These police officers, you know, some of them are good, some of them are not good, as we know in this incident and in so many other incidences, especially Trayvon Martin, and a lot of other incidences, Laquan McDonald, and now this. And it's all on tape. It's on video. So this officer, this woman, this who shot this guy in the back, and this just happened, shot this black man in the back. She's on, I don't know, paid leave or something until a big investigation. A lot of the family members and people of that state, which I can't recall right now, I'll get that information later, they're calling for her to be fired, and she should be. She should be. More and more, you know, you would think the police would learn, but that doesn't seem like some of these guys and girls learn. They constantly pull that trigger on somebody who is not violent. Their lives are not in danger at that particular moment. And she just fired, hitting him in the back four times, I believe. And he died on the spot. My problem again is if one officer had tased him, and that wasn't even called for, tasing him was not even called for, because he had his hands up. He wasn't running. He wasn't being hostile. He wasn't being violent. He just had his hands up, walking towards his van. Then one officer walked up and tased him. The other officer And the taser, I believe, brought him down. And the other officers just walked up and shot him. It's ridiculous. It's totally ridiculous. And it's going on all the time in America. And I'm not saying that every police officer is a bad police officer. It's just some are. You know, I always said to myself, and I've said on the radio, that if a good police officer know who a bad officer is, and that good police officer does not turn in that bad officer, then that makes that good officer a bad officer. You know. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. Let's go to the phones. All right, you're on the George Wilder Jr. Show. Go right ahead. You're on my show. Go right ahead. Okay,
hello,
one, two, three. Oh, yeah, go right ahead. I can hear you fine.
Yeah. Oh, sorry about that. My signal was breaking up before. I just wanted to say, to your question about whether or not Americans are dumb, I think part of it really is just a matter of people just being really busy and just not having the time to actually sit down and read up and study things and, you know, come to proper conclusions. And the media knows this, and the liberal media in particular really understands this concept, and that's why they know how to manipulate people with just small sound bites and bits and pieces here or there, versus the conservatives try to approach people with a more of a in-depth thing. And that's why there's a disconnect. That's why the liberals are expanding and the conservatives have been on the decline. And if you look at all the media, this is what the liberals are really good at, is that they've basically dominated media as a whole. The majority of people in Hollywood who are involved, the producers, the writers, are all liberal. Majority of the news media is liberal. I mean, the guy you just cited, Bill Maher, is extremely liberal. I mean, all the comedians, all the talk show hosts, everybody that people see on a daily basis on their television, 95% of them are liberal. Doing that, they understand we're going to get people where they spend the most amount of time, which is at their entertainment. Mm-hmm. And that's why people have a liberal lean. But most people, the conservatives that you meet are usually people who, you know, who studied a lot, who have more of a, you know, have more of a mature kind of perspective on things. And I say this as a former liberal myself when I was younger. And now I'm conservative.
Yeah.
So it's just, you know. But
so do you, in general, do you think Americans are dumb in general? I mean, like I said before, I don't think all Americans are dumb. And I think he generalized it. So I personally, I have met and dealt with a lot of people who just didn't seem to care much about education, you know, and they felt that they were smarter than I was or smarter than anybody was. And I do think people don't read much. And I do think that the media sometimes plays into that. You know, the media tells us what they want us to know instead of what we should be hearing, I believe.
Yeah, and especially, you know, if you talk about the black community in particular, which obviously both of us are, that statement that you made is the most, it just totally nails what's going on. Is that especially in our community, education is looked down, valued as it is in other communities, especially if you look at the Chinese, the Indians who are coming into this country, the Jewish community. In those communities, education is held in such high regard, which is why their children oftentimes have really good academic achievements. And go on to become engineers, lawyers, doctors, accountants, you know, because the parents and the culture understands the value of it. But in our culture, and part of it has to do, and this is why I've become anti-liberal. And anyone who's liberal listening to this, I don't say this to offend, but I've seen how detrimental their thinking has done to our people. And what I mean by that is, they've created a system that's designed to get black people in particular in a state of dependency. And then the dependency state in turn destroys the black family, because the women who are on welfare can only get access to welfare if there's no man in the house, i.e. they're not married, which then destroys the black family. And then in conjunction with that, those women are oftentimes not allowed to own a vehicle, which stunts their potential. I mean, anyone knows if you trying to grow and expand, oftentimes you have to get jobs maybe that may be further away, and having a vehicle obviously is going to help. And all those things are subtle things that they put in And because the liberals want people to be dependent, because dependent people are their strongest supporters. And that they know that if they can get people in that position, that's why blacks support Democrats almost uniformly, like as a, just a giant voting block because of this mindset. And they know what they're doing. And they and they don't want blacks to get out of that, because if you do, then you become someone who doesn't look to the government for help. You know what I'm saying? That's what.
Yeah.
And that's why I want our people to stop being that way and to look at what, you know, look at what the Jews and the Chinese are doing. We should look to them as an example of people coming into this country and utilizing what's here to their benefit and not being dependent on the government and all that nonsense. That's why we're losing. That's why half the people on welfare are black. Did you know that? I was blown away by that.
Well, I've heard that most of the people on I've heard that most of the people on welfare are white. So I'm just saying what the media have fed me. So
well, I mean, you can go and look this up, the statistics, but it's 50% of the people on welfare are African American, and African Americans are only 13% of the population. So that means there's a disproportionate number of black people that are on welfare. That's crazy. Like if half the people who are on welfare are white and half of them are black, which is generally what the statistics are. You have a little bit of Latinos, but it's generally a 50-50 split amongst white and blacks. But blacks are only 13% of the population, but they're half the people on welfare. That means there's something going on here that we need to fix. And then what's even worse, I saw another stat that blew me away by the FBI. African Americans are committing 50% of the murder in America. When I saw that stat made my jaw hit the ground. I couldn't believe it. Now, that's incredible.
Yeah. That could be a statistic that may be true, because if you look at the jails, it's just overwhelmingly African-American, young African-Americans, and that's sad. All right, thank you for your call. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Black Talk Radio. We will be right back, folks. Stay with me.
So this past weekend, Hillary Clinton took a lot of heat for a comment that she made about Donald Trump's supporters when she referred to, you know, about half of them as being part of what she called a basket of deplorables. Now, politically speaking, bad move by Hillary Clinton. Factually speaking, could not have been more accurate. First of all, the quote, as usual, was pretty much taken out of context, because when she was talking about the basket of deplorables, she mentioned that these were the racists, the bigots, the homophobes, the sexists, the misogynists. She did list the kind of people she was talking about, and yes, those kinds of people are absolutely abhorrent. And then she talked about the other basket that's not filled with racist and horrible people, just people who are fed up with being taken advantage of by corporations, by the government, the anti-establishment folks that are not violent, they're not horrible, they're just people that want to see some change. That's the part that got left out. But when you look at the fact, and I know she's come out and apologized for this, I really wish she hadn't. This was a strong statement, it was a true statement, and she should have stood by it. But when you look at the facts and you look at who supports Donald Trump, you see that Hillary Clinton was absolutely right. Look at this. 65% of Donald Trump supporters think that President Barack Obama is a Muslim. 59% believe that he was not born in the United States. 31% say that we should ban homosexuals from entering the United States. 16% believe that whites are a superior race. Those are the people that support Donald Trump, but the New York Times goes a step further and lists out the other folks. 80% of likely Trump voters supported Trump's proposed ban on Muslims. 62% supported creating a national database of Muslims, and 40% supported shutting down mosques in the United States. 38% said they wish the South had won the Civil War. 33% thought the practice of Islam should be illegal in the United States. 32% supported the policy of Japanese internment during World War II. These are Donald Trump supporters. They are white supremacists who do believe that white is a superior race and that anyone who is not a heterosexual white man needs to be controlled somehow by the government, perhaps not allowed in this country, perhaps not allowed to practice their religion, or maybe we just round them up, put them in special places where nobody can see, touch, or hear them. That is what Donald Trump supporters believe. They truly are a basket of deplorables. At this point, it's really not even a basket. It's more of, you know, a huge giant container, maybe several baskets. That's the only problem I have with Hillary Clinton making this statement, is that she didn't go big enough. Donald Trump supporters are absolutely disgusting. And again, probably not a good political move by Hillary to say this, but that doesn't make her statement not true.
All right. Are we?
Diabetes, they tell you, is a chronic disease. And so this is what happens. And this is what happens in all studies.
All right. I don't know why I should even talk about this, but I'm going to. The media is talking about it. Angelina Jolie files for divorce from Brad Pitt. This is what's leading off the national news. Of course, it's not a slow news day. I don't think they're talking about the terrorists also. But I don't know why should we care? If people get divorced every day. Is it because of these guys? They're movie stars? I think the best thing that Angelina Jolie has done was probably Salt, the movie Salt, S-A-L-T, Salt, Evelyn Salt. That's her character name. I think that's one of the best things she's ever done, and she's done quite a bit. She's a director and all that kind of thing, and she's a pretty decent actress, but I don't think she's one of the greatest actresses in the world. Brad Pitt, I've got a few of his movies right here in my studio, you know, and he's a pretty good actor, and I like him, but I don't care anything about their personal problems. You know, and that's one of the things I try to do. I try to separate. If I admire somebody, if I'm looking up to somebody for their talent, you know, their personal business, I don't care nothing about. You know, I'm looking at you for your talent, your efforts, and things like that. You know, if you're a good actor, if you're one of my favorite actors, great. If you are getting a divorce or you having, you're doing drugs, or that's another area right there. That's another area. And like I said before, they're good actors, but their personal problems, I really don't give a damn. They can get a divorce, you know, that's up to them. But I know that there's some people out there who care about this. Some people are saying, "Whoa, wow, that's sad. That's bad. Oh, what happened?" You know, I really personally don't care, you know, because I just don't. It's not my business. I don't know. But I do know there's a lot of people out there who's care about this. This is nothing but gossip, you know, so they're getting divorced. People divorce every day. Big damn deal. You know, so, but I'm pretty sure this is going to play out all over television, Entertainment Tonight and all this stuff. All these kind of shows, the news shows, newspapers going to be ratcheting this up. Angelina Jolie, because they're big stars. Okay. They are big stars, you know? So I think I'm hearing the reason to why these guys are breaking up, Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt. The reason why they're breaking up is because of substance abuse. A substance abuse, obviously. She filed for the divorce, from what I'm hearing. She filed for the divorce. And substance abuse is the reason, allegedly. This is what the news media is saying. I kind of see her point. If this is true, I kind of see her point. I mean, they got about 10 kids together. You know, you don't want somebody around your children doing drugs. You know, I can see the point. I can see her point for filing for divorce. If this is happening, allegedly, if this is happening, but the news media is saying it is. And that's all I'm going to talk about it. If you want to talk about it, 347-857-1762. But I, you know, it's up to you. I mean, people going to talk about it. It's something to talk about. And they're getting divorced, you know, so, well, you know, life goes on, right? All right. You've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. It's 80 degrees in the city of Chicago, and it is 6:46 in Chicago, and it is still beautiful. Of course, summer's leaving, and one of the reasons that you can tell the summer is going because the days are getting a lot shorter. The days are getting shorter, and that is a bummer. That is a bummer. The Ricketts family, the Ricketts family in the city of Chicago, they, in the beginning, they hated Trump. They didn't like Trump. I believe they've given money to other organizations, conservative Republican organizations, to try to defeat Trump. But like so many other Republicans, they've changed their mind. They're now supporting Trump. They're now supporting Trump. And I just learned that the national polling shows that Hillary Clinton is still 5 points ahead of Trump. That's not far behind. I've said on this show many times, Donald Trump could be the next president of the United States. He could be. There's no doubt about that. Hillary has too many flaws. And I even said that I'm not going to vote because I don't think either one of them are fit for office. I mean, and I'm saying I'm going to write in Bernie Sanders. I'm going to write his name in because I can't see myself voting for neither one of these guys. I think either one of them that gets in the office, it's going to be bad for the United States. Then again, I may, you know, make up my mind and vote for one of these candidates. You never know. I just have to see what's going to happen once I get inside of that voting booth, get inside of that voting booth. Hillary is, I mean, she is still untrustworthy. You still can't believe her, and you still can't. And she's going around telling people, you have to vote. You got to vote. There's no not voting here. You know, she's going to tell people to vote for her or tell people that they should vote for her. I don't know. I don't know. I just don't trust her. And it's not that I don't like her. It's just that Hillary is just so untrustworthy. She's, I don't know. And another reason why I think I have a hard problem voting for Hillary is that she's going to be another Obama. She's going to be an extension of Obama. And in my end, Obama has not been a good president. And I've said, I've gave many reasons of why on this show. Go back and check out some of those podcasts. He's just not. He was on television today talking about accepting more refugees into the country. Even after this latest terrorist attack, there was two of them. It was a guy wielding a knife. And there was a guy who in New York City bombed New York City. You know, I mean, with a couple of incidences in New York City and another city. And because of that, he's saying, and that's crazy. Yeah, he's saying we should, telling the world that they should take in refugees. Now, I'm not against refugees because most of them are women and children and men. But still in all, women and children are known to put on bomb vests and walk into a mall and blow and kill lots of people. You can't even trust women and children. You never know. Because a lot of these kids over in these countries, they are radicalized. They are taught to shoot a weapon. I mean, yeah, at 4, 5, 6 years old, they are taught to shoot a weapon and taught to hate Americans. And Obama's saying, let them all come in. I disagree with that. I don't think they should be coming into the country. I'm not against helping people who need help. That's what this show is all about. But I'm also about helping Americans to stay alive. And Hillary's for the same thing. She's for bringing all the refugees around the country into America. She's for it too. You just cannot bring in people without vetting them. You just cannot bring in people just to be bringing in people. And one of the things, we got refugees in the United States already. We got them right here in Chicago. They're getting food stamps. They're getting free housing. They're getting free employment recommendations and referrals, more so than Americans themselves are. And these people don't have papers. They're not Americans. You got some illegal Hispanics, some illegals in Chicago who can't be deported because they're in sanctuary cities, which I think because this is a sanctuary city. And I think that's wrong. You know, but and these people are getting on social programs and the government is. They're always saying that they don't have the money for social programs. They're cutting social programs, but yet they bring in these people in from these countries and giving them food stamps, giving them welfare, giving them housing. These are things that they don't even do for the Americans that are already in the country, people who were born here. But they're going to do that for the refugees because this is what Obama wants. This is what he wants. So Obama's going to be, I mean, in January, he's going to be out. He's going in some cases, I just can't wait. I mean, I voted for the guy twice, and I'm one of his staunchest critics on this show. Staunchest. There's others. There's a lot of other people who say a lot of nastier things than I do about Obama. But I'm one of his staunchest critics because I can be that because I voted for him twice. I was hoping he would be something different. I wanted him to be different. But the day he walked into that White House, he became a politician. And that was a day that I, you know, took all his pictures off my wall. You know, so Obama, you know, he's got a high approval rating from what I understand. But he has no high approval rating from me and some other African-American leaders because they are upset with him too. Get this. He was giving a speech today on refugees, Hispanics, and all of this type of thing. But he never said anything about the economy. He never said anything about African-American issues because African-Americans have a lot of issues pertaining to street crime. They're incarcerated, I mean, to the max. You know, he didn't say anything about that. He's done jack for African-Americans. and we voted for him. I mean, we put his ass in office. A lot of African Americans gotten up out of their hospital beds, left their nursing homes just to go down to the polls and vote for Obama. And he has disappointed them big time, big time, big time. So after 8 years in office, he's done more for gay marriage, Hispanics, illegals, refugees, and has done absolutely nothing for Black Americans. And this is the kicker. Most Black Americans are giving this guy great poll numbers, and he's done exactly nothing for him. You know, especially in his first term and his second term. The only thing people will say that he's done, he came in after Bush and he, you know, brought the economy back. That may be true, but that's about it. Other than he's been all talk, he's been running after the Republicans and conservatives. He's been trying to appease them, then trying to appease the people who put his ass in office. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show, and we've been talking about are Americans dumb and uneducated. I would probably say some are and some are not. Okay, that's it. Okay, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio. Okay, let's see what we got. I was saying something about the Bears earlier on, and they are just awful. And that's no doubt about that. They are just awful. Judge rules that Derrick Rose, former Bull Derrick Rose, is being sued for rape. I don't know how true that is, but she is suing him for rape. And the lady that's suing Derrick Rose for rape, she will not tell us who she is. Derrick Rose is no longer a Bull. He's with another team, but she is suing him for rape. And I'm going to go out on a limb and say Derrick Rose is probably innocent. And this lady who is suing him, she's probably out for money. For money, because I believe Derrick said something like the sex was consensual. And I kind of believe that. I don't think he would rape anybody, but hey, this thing is going to trial, folks. It's going to trial, and that's bad. That's bad. And if something tells me that the judge might be lenient to being on Derrick Rose's side or in his corner. I don't know. I'm just speculating. This thing could go anywhere, and it's bad for Derrick Rose. Jim Carrey calls lawsuits over ex deaths heartless. Okay. My man Jim Carrey. He used to be funny. I wonder what happened. He's not making the movies that he used to make. He used to be so funny that it was heartbreaking. Okay, I mean, he was really funny.
We got pulled over for a busted tail light in the back. And the police just he's covered. They killed my boyfriend. He's licensed to carry. He was trying to get out his ID and his wallet out his pocket, and he let the officer.
Every few generations, we Americans are called upon to defend our country, to defend it not so much from foreign dictators or war or terrorism, but from those here who have no commitment to progress or democracy or representative government, no commitment to anything except their own out-of-control minds and the bottomless pits of their egos. Our society has thrown up these people before. Joseph McCarthy, George Wallace, Father Coughlin, Jefferson Davis, Aaron Burr, the Know-Nothings, the Blacklisters, the America Firsters, and we have always thrown them out. And now our generation has its own. The most dangerous individual ever nominated by a major party for the highest office in this country. His base wants few details and fewer facts. They just want to burn it down and blame their failures on the collective other. And Donald John Trump is their demonic messiah in Oompa Loompa's clothing. We must stop him. It is not pleasant. It is not fair that we have to do this, but it is our turn.
The average report in this series will ask for about 6 minutes of your time. This one needs nearly three times as much. The text version includes more than 160 links. I encourage you to read and save, because the emperor's new clothes quality to the Trump campaign has survived these 15 months, because as we react to each outrage, our shock and revulsion has been refracted like light through a prism. But these outrages are not separate events, not even a pattern. They are simply Donald Trump. Seen all at once, they and he are horrifying, and you must see them all at once. Thus, in brief, the story so far. The Republican Party has actually nominated for president a man who attacked the Pope, who attacked John McCain for being captured by the North Vietnamese, who attacked Gold Star parents, Khazir and Ghazala Khan, and then juxtaposed their names with the phrase radical Islamic terrorism, who attacked Hillary Clinton as a, quote, bigot, who attacked her as brainwashed, as unhinged, as a monster, as the devil, as the most corrupt candidate ever, showing her face on piles of $100 bills and the Star of David, who attacked her as someone who Second Amendment people should do something about, as someone whose religion we don't know anything about, after he had explained he had never asked God for forgiveness, who attacked President Obama and implied he was a traitor, who attacked him as having been complicit in the Orlando terrorist attack, who attacked him for having lower approval ratings than Vladimir Putin, as if Putin's approval ratings could somehow be trusted, who attacked him as being born in another country, who attacked him as the founder of ISIS, then said that was sarcasm, then said it wasn't sarcasm, then attacked him again as the founder of ISIS, who attacked Carly Fiorina for her face, Hillary Clinton for her non-presidential look, Heidi Cruz for her appearance, Megyn Kelly for having blood coming out of her wherever, Mika Brzezinski as crazy and very dumb, neurotic, not very bright, who attacked the women who accused Roger Ailes of harassment, who attacked the women who choose abortion, and who said there should be punishments, who attacked a New York Times reporter because he had a condition that made his arms look atypical, who attacked Judge Gonzalo Curiel because he was of Mexican descent, who attacked Senator Elizabeth Warren over allegedly lying over her heritage to get into Harvard when she never went to Harvard, who attacked Senator Jeff Flake by saying he will not be reelected this year when Senator Flake is not up for reelection until 2018. The Republican Party has actually nominated for president a man who attacked U.S. troops in Iraq and claimed they stole millions, who has attacked Ted Cruz's father and claimed he was connected to the assassination of President Kennedy, attacked Bill Clinton and claimed he was a rapist, who attacked Mexicans as rapists, bringing drugs and crime, who attacked African Americans and claimed they were all living in poverty with no jobs and schools that were no good, who attacked Harrisburg, Pennsylvania as a war zone, and attacked the United States of America and claimed it is in a, quote, death spiral. The Republican Party has actually nominated for president a man who lied about opposing the war in Iraq when there is a tape of him supporting it, a tape recorded on the first anniversary of 9/11, who lied about opposing the war in Iraq during a speech in which he insisted, "I will never lie to you," who lied about $6 million in charitable donations to veterans groups from his telethon, who lied about donating his profits from The Apprentice, about charitable donations from The Celebrity Apprentice, from Trump the Game, and to St. Jude Cancer Center, who lied about a plan to debate Bernie Sanders for charity, who lied about why he would not release his taxes because he was being audited, and then proved himself a liar by saying he would release his taxes if Secretary Clinton released emails, who lied about how much money his father gave him, helping him to get out of college, who lied about sending his private jet to ferry stranded U.S. servicemen, who lied about talking to the Attorney General of Florida, who declined to investigate Trump University after she had been given a campaign donation, who lied about his business in Russia, who lied about meeting Russian President Putin, who lied about offering child care to his employees when it was child care for his hotel guests, who lied about some people wanting a moment of silence for the murderer of five Dallas policemen, who lied about seeing thousands of Muslims in New Jersey celebrating 9/11, who lied about 9/11 hijackers sending their wives and girlfriends home to Saudi Arabia,
who lied about thousands of Syrian refugee terrorists being secretly admitted to this country, who lied about the Chicago police urging him to cancel a rally, who lied about the Chicago police saying they could solve crime there with tough police tactics, who lied about how there was no drought in California, how he never said Japan should have nuclear weapons, how he opposed the ouster of Egyptian President Mubarak, how the unemployment rate is 42%. Who lied about ISIS making millions a week in selling Libyan oil, who lied about dozens of secret terrorist cases in this country, who lied that a protester who tried to rush onto his stage had ties to ISIS, who lied last May and again last week about refugees entering this country carrying cell phones with ISIS flags on them and phone plans prepaid by ISIS. Can you hear me now? The Republican Party has actually nominated for president a man who congratulated himself in two tweets and a press release for predicting terrorist attacks like Orlando while bodies still lay in the Pulse nightclub, who congratulated himself after the killing of Dwayne Wade's cousin, who congratulated himself on predicting Brexit, even though 3 weeks earlier he had never heard of Brexit, who congratulated himself on Republican convention TV ratings, even though those for his closing speech were lower than John McCain's, who congratulated himself by disseminating a video showing how much of that speech's total running time was taken up by applause, who congratulated himself on having the world's greatest memory, then 3 weeks later testified in a deposition he had no memory of ever saying that. The Republican Party has actually nominated for president a man who has proposed that Russia or China should enact a Watergate-like hacking of Hillary Clinton's emails, who has proposed banning Muslims from entering this country, then said it was only a suggestion, then proposed it again, whose running mate has proposed banning members of other religions, who has proposed open racial profiling, who has proposed banning people from terror nations, saying, look it up, they have a list, who has proposed ideological certification for immigrants, who has proposed worse than waterboarding while praising how Saddam Hussein, Vladimir Putin, and Kim Jong-un handled protest and terrorism, who has proposed that American civilians be tried by military commissions at Gitmo, who has proposed killing the families of terrorists or suspected terrorists, a man who has proposed teaching mandatory patriotism in school, proposed that his supporters appoint themselves as Election Day voting monitors, proposed making American protection of fellow NATO members COD, whose campaign proposed purging the government of all Obama appointees, proposed avoiding government debt by printing more money, proposed reducing national debt by paying less than we agreed to, proposed forestalling new financial regulations by executive order, and then in the same speech proposed eliminating some executive orders. A man who has proposed a wall along the Mexican border to keep out undocumented immigrants, proposed mass deportation of undocumented immigrants, proposed a smaller wall and fewer deportations during a taped TV interview that played at the same moment he was giving a speech in Phoenix, insisting on a larger wall and more deportations. A man who has proposed immediately expelling at least 2 to 3 million undocumented immigrants, even though this would be like trying to evacuate the city of Chicago in one day. Proposed immediately expelling any others not convicted but merely accused of a crime. A man who has proposed to enact all this by executive action, bypassing Congress, even though he employed undocumented immigrants himself in the building of Trump Tower, even though those immigrants say he not only knew of them but hired them personally, even though his own modeling agency and television shows enabled and employed undocumented immigrants, even though his own wife may have worked here without proper documentation, even though his own grandfather was reportedly not merely a fraudulent emigrant to this country, but was also denied re-entry to Germany because he was a draft dodger. The Republican Party has actually nominated for president a man who claimed he understood the sacrifices of losing a child in war because he had spent money to hire employees, who has claimed he understood prejudice against African Americans because the system is also rigged against him, claimed the election will be rigged against him, claimed the opinion polls are rigged against him, then praised one of the exact same polls when it favored him, claimed he would be leading those rigged polls by 20 points, but for rigged media, claimed Democrats are voting 10 times each, claimed that his crowd in Colorado Springs would have been larger, but the fire marshal was a Democrat,
claimed that his speech in Washington would have drawn as many as Martin Luther King's I Have a Dream speech, but that nobody would let them in. A man who has claimed he was his own best foreign policy advisor, claimed that Putin will not go into Ukraine when he had already invaded Ukraine in 2014, claimed the U.S. is paying rent for a military base in Saudi Arabia when the last one there closed in 2003, claimed that to avoid hacking the military should stop communicating on wires and return to messengers. A man who has claimed that any candidate using a teleprompter should be ineligible and then himself began using a teleprompter. Claimed that he does not use notes for speeches during a speech he gave primarily from notes. Claimed he will fix the problems of African Americans and then days later suggested that an African American athlete protesting police shootings should leave this country. The Republican Party has actually nominated for president a man who was revealed to have asked his foreign policy advisors three times in 1 hour why this country can't use nuclear weapons if we have nuclear weapons, after having asked a television interview the same question, who was revealed to have not known what the nuclear triad was, a man who is revealed to have been the political beneficiary of fake internet accounts underwritten by the Kremlin, revealed to have improperly sought campaign contributions from foreign nationals, including officials of foreign governments, a man who was revealed to have erased all his emails, including those sought in a lawsuit for 5 years, revealed to have plagiarized 20 pages in his Trump Institute handbook, revealed to have employed the purported author of his wife's convention speech, which plagiarized part of a speech written for Michelle Obama by Hillary Clinton's former speechwriter, revealed to have said on his 2008 radio show that Hillary Clinton would make a good president, a man who was revealed to have admitted using the pseudonyms John Barron and John Miller while pretending to be his own press spokesman and boasting of his sexual conquests in the 1990s, and revealed to have used the pseudonym John Barron while his company threatened his undocumented workers. Revealed to have telephoned one television network to alert it to something positive being said about him on another television network. A man revealed to have millions in outstanding loans to the Bank of China, revealed to have tried to make investment deals with Muammar Gaddafi, revealed to have once kept a book of Hitler's speeches in a cabinet near his bed. The Republican Party has actually nominated for president a man who has allied himself with his campaign advisor and delegate, who said Hillary Clinton should be shot by firing squad for treason, who has allied himself with another campaign advisor who mused about waterboarding Hillary Clinton, who has allied himself with an African-American pastor who disseminated an image of Hillary Clinton in blackface, who has allied himself with his own son who follows a series of white supremacist Twitter accounts, a man who has allied himself with at least 7 campaign staffers who have disseminated racist and/or violent messages on social media, who has allied himself with a state campaign co-chairman who tweeted, Lynch Loretta Lynch, who has allied himself with an Illinois Trump delegate who is a white supremacist, a California Trump delegate who is a white nationalist leader, a former personal butler who wrote on Facebook that President Obama should be, quote, hung for treason, a man who has allied himself with 3 different campaign chiefs, the first who manhandled a woman reporter and then lied about it, the second who was listed to receive $12 million from a pro-Russia political party in Ukraine, the third who has been accused under oath of anti-Semitic comments and domestic violence, a man who has allied himself with a foreign policy advisor accused under oath of anti-Semitic comments, with a New York State co-chair who suggested Khazir Khan supports ISIS and is a member of the Muslim Brotherhood, with a close advisor who says a Clinton aide could be a Saudi spy or terrorist agent, a man who has aligned himself with a former campaign state chairman accused of drawing a gun on another campaign staffer, with a conspiracy theorist radio host who claims the Newtown school shootings were a hoax, with a political operative so corrupt he was once fired by Republicans for falsifying evidence against Hillary Clinton. The Republican Party has actually nominated for president a man who has offered to pay the legal fees of any supporter who becomes physically violent against a heckler, who encouraged crowd members to harass and threaten a reporter who he called out by name and who then needed Secret Service protection, who accepted a military medal from an audience member and said, I always wanted to get the Purple Heart. This was much easier. who conducted a news conference to introduce his running mate only to spend the first 25 minutes talking only about himself, whose prominent Latino surrogate warned Mexican immigration would put taco trucks on every corner 4 months after the nominee himself commemorated Cinco de Mayo by tweeting a photo of himself eating from a taco bowl. The Republican Party has actually nominated for president a man who tweeted thanks to singer Billy Joel for dedicating songs to him, never realizing Joel was by doing so mocking him, who gave a trade speech in Monessen, Pennsylvania, standing in front of a wall made out of bales of compressed garbage, who bragged during a presidential debate about the size of his genitalia, who gave a TV interview while seated in front of a photograph of himself wearing the same suit, shirt, and tie, who appeared in a joint news conference with the president of Mexico with two bobby pins visible holding his hairdo in place. The Republican Party has actually nominated for president an irresponsible, unrealistic, naive, petulant, childish, vindictive, prejudiced, bigoted, racist, Islamophobic, anti-Semitic, misogynistic, fascistic, authoritarian, insensitive, erratic, disturbed, irrational, inhuman individual named Donald John Trump. This is madness. Any questions?
Wow, that was Keith Olbermann. The guy tells it like it is. I just love him. He tells it like it is. And that's Keith Olbermann, one of the people I look up to. I may not agree with him all the time, but you know what? Just like people don't agree with me all the time. But, you know, he has his views. And he is one of those people who were once a part of MSNBC, so-called liberal network. I mean, it's corporate. It's trying to be like Fox News. And they got rid of him. They got rid of Ed Schultz. They got rid of Melissa. I can't think of her last name anyway. But they got rid of a lot of the liberal voices on that network, which is, and Keith was one of them, as I was saying. And he's one of my heroes. I like him. I like the way he talks. I like the way he speaks. He speaks his mind. And at least you can give people that much credit for speaking their mind and saying exactly what they want to say. And sometimes the truth hurts, but sometimes we have to hear it. All right. Thank you for that, Keith. That was it's always a pleasure. Trump flunks history. Okay, it says here, I'm looking at Huffington Post here, folks. Black America in the worst shape ever. He's saying that give me a break. Black America, African Americans are not in the worst shape ever. But I can tell you this, Black America is not much better than it was when we voted in Barack Obama. We thought Barack Obama was the Messiah. We thought he was coming to save us. Of course not. Obama's heroes are Trump and Cheney. It seemed like because these people should be going to jail for war crimes, and Obama said he wasn't going to do that. And that's one of the reasons why I voted for him back in 2008, because I thought he was going to send these guys to prison for war crimes, I mean, for getting us into the Iraq war. 4,000 young people were killed and lied us into a war. And I thought Obama was going to do something about that. He did not. So Trump is saying that Black America in worst shape ever. No, we're not. We're not slaves anymore. Okay. We've come a long way as African Americans. We're not slaves in the sense of having a master. You know, we're not on a plantation. So he's wrong about that. I'm pretty sure that they're mentioning that this kind of thing in the article. We can go into any restaurant we want. We're not as segregated as we once were back in the 60s and 50s and 40s and so on. We can use any bathroom we want. We can drink from any a water fountain that we want. We can go to any school that we want, hopefully, any school. But we are not in the worst shape ever. Trump do not know much about African-American history or any type of history. He just shoots from the lip. He just says whatever comes out of his mouth because he's trying to get the black people vote. He's trying to get African-Americans vote. He's got a few of them. Okay, he says, Donald Trump forgetting slavery and Jim Crow. And as if I just mentioned that, right? Claims black Americans have never been worse off. We are not as worse off as we were, folks. Donald Trump he makes them slip at the lip. He talks before he thinks. We, of course, black Americans can be, it should be better, but we're not in the worst shape ever. He's just, I don't know what he's doing. He's trying to brainwash us into thinking that nothing has changed. A lot has changed since Abraham Lincoln, the 16th president of the United States, Abraham Lincoln, went to slaves. A lot has changed. Our African-American communities are absolutely in the worst shape that they have ever been before. Some African-American communities, that's a quote from Donald Trump, some African-American communities are in bad shape, but not all. You got some beautiful and wonderful, upstanding African-American communities within the United States. He's generalizing here. You know, he's speaking without substance. Of course, things can be better for African-Americans, but we're not as bad off as he saying. I actually think he's trying to dig at Obama with this. I actually think he's trying to dig at Obama. He said, well, you done had 8 years in Obama and you got and African-Americans, you still haven't got anything. He's trying to dig at Obama with this, my thinking is. So he just talks from his lip. Donald Trump disregarding centuries of atrocities faced by Black Americans in America, by Black people in America, claimed Tuesday, which is today, that Black communities have never been worse off than they are now. That's a total lie. Black communities were, and some Black communities around the United States are just as bad today as they were before Obama took office. Some have came up. Some have made a lot of changes. There's been a lot of construction, rehabilitation. The communities have come a long way to be great communities within the Black neighborhoods and areas. So Donald Trump doesn't know what he's talking about. He was speaking at a rally in North Carolina. Trump again stumbled in an apparent attempt to endear himself to Black voters. That's all it's about. It's about getting Black voters to come to him, support him, and vote for him. And he's stepping on his mouth by trying to do this. He should read history. Somebody should be feeding him the history of Black Americans before he say something outrageous, which he has just done, saying that Black Americans are worse off than they've ever been. That's a dig at Obama, okay? He's trying to say Obama has done nothing for Black American in the 8 years that he's been in office. He may be right about that, but he has to look at history on this. And this is what I've been saying for a few days now. Americans don't give a damn about history. Apparently, Donald Trump doesn't give a damn about history, especially history of a group of people like African Americans. Okay, here's a quote. We're going to make our country safe again. We're going to rebuild our inner cities because our African American communities are absolutely in the worst shape that they've ever been before. Ever, ever, ever. That's a quote from Donald Trump. The comment made in a city named for a slave owner is objectively untrue and completely ignores the black people who once were subject to slavery and Jim Crow laws, as I mentioned earlier on in this piece. And this is just, Twitter is probably lighting up with this. I mean, he just said this today, so this is current. Okay, this is on Twitter. Donald Trump just said African-American communities are doing worse ever than ever than ever than ever. Who can think of some worse time? We can all think of worse times right now for African-American people. You go back 50 years ago. You go back 100 years ago, 150 or 200 years ago. Those were the worst times ever for African-Americans. We were brought over here on slave ships. That was a bad time. We were kidnapped from Africa and brought over here on slave ships. Does Donald Trump know that? In chains, in boats, chained up in boats, in a box. You know, I mean, this is just, it's mind-boggling that this guy would say something like that. Are we going to get more? And we were beaten, sold. You know, Donald Trump doesn't know his history. Like I said before, he shoots from his lip before he thinks. And I'm pretty sure he's getting a blowback or backlash from this. And Twitter's lit up over it. It's just, well, Donald's learning. I believe he's going to learn. You've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio. We just had Keith Olbermann. I mean, he is just magnificent. He's just magnificent, and he will be back again on the show. We're going to do that again because it's truth. It's telling us about Donald Trump. And I've talked about Donald Trump several times on this show, and it seemed like you can never stop talking about Donald Trump because he's always making news. He's always out there. He's making more news than Hillary. I mean, Hillary she was sick the other day and she stumbled and she fainted and she told everybody, she said, well, it's no big deal. Oh, it's a big deal because you should never play with pneumonia. You should never play with pneumonia. Apparently she did.
Bombs begin to fall. Anyone ever saw? Heaven help the black man if he struggles one more day. Heaven help the white man if he turns back away. Heaven help the man who kicks the man who has a claw.
All right, everybody, I want to thank you for listening to the show. Hope you join me tomorrow. Bye-bye.
Thank you.